Today we're going to be talking about, yeah, lots of interesting things. I mean, Yolandi Corky is the director of Crisis Response Network, a Christian NGO based in South Africa that works locally as well as on the international arena. I mentioned earlier on that we're going to be talking about NGOs, also the Sudanese refugees in Uganda, and what is happening on the Mexican border. Good morning, Yolandi. Great to have you back on Impact 103FM's Morning Drive.
Good morning, Birgitta. Always wonderful to visit with you and the listeners.
Yolandi, we know that NGOs do a lot of great work, but there are challenges that NGOs face. And despite the performing vital service that they do in terms of reaching vulnerable people, especially in times of crisis, what are those challenges that an NGO faces behind the scenes?
Yeah, thank you, Birgitta. That's really important that we talk about this morning. And we're just going to touch the iceberg of the topic. So maybe next year we can follow up on this one again. But I think our listeners know that NPOs come in many sizes and shapes. Generally, they share a common focus, which is helping others by making our communities better places to live in. And they bring a lot of innovative ideas to the table. And they're able to navigate complex challenges that societies face, and they can think out of the box for solutions. Now, nonprofits have far-reaching impact on societies, and their existence benefits the economy as a job-creating platform. They bring hope to communities. They promote education, safety. They raise attention to important issues and are the voices of those who cannot speak for themselves. Their value is often underestimated and at the same time taken a little bit for granted. We find that the people working at nonprofits will go that extra mile for the cause. And they will work overtime because they see their jobs as a calling. Many people volunteer their time and energy for free at nonprofits or the events or the projects. In the Christian nonprofit space, we see that employees and volunteers see their work and their contributions as part of a putting faith into action. So what are these challenges that the NPOs face? Well, I'm going to quote a little bit from research that was done on the topic. So this is not coming from my ideas, but it's actually been ongoing research for the last couple of decades. So they say that there's actually a historic underfunding of nonprofits known as the starvation cycle, which has resulted from misplaced expectations or a lack of awareness that nonprofits should have little to no overhead costs, or that low overhead costs is an indication of an efficient NPO. They are always applauded for the work that they do, but they mostly operate on insufficient funds. Furthermore, the research actually shows that about two-thirds of nonprofits have less than 21 days of financial reserves in their accounts. Yet at the same time, they have these ambitious goals that they want to achieve. So due to a chronic lack of funding, the nonprofits usually struggle to recruit and maintain core staff, and overhead costs are cut to a sub-functional level. Yet, they are functioning just like a normal other business is functioning. But despite these challenges, Birgitta, there are small changes that the donors can do to relieve some of these challenges that the NPOs face. The donors and the foundations can start moving away from the concept of value for money to value of ideas. Donors can recognize the innovative ideas of nonprofits by not only funding the project, but by funding the creative ideas generated by a team of people who's working tirelessly for the good of others. And you know, donations to nonprofits should be seen as investments to increase impact. The donors can consider that they are strengthening the core capabilities of the nonprofit sector when they allocate funds to overhead costs. And this is not only in the funder's interest, but also for the nonprofit's interest. But most of all, it's for the interest of those people that we are trying to reach that's been affected by the crisis. With more support and a mindset shift from donors, a nonprofit can make innovative commitments to the communities they serve. And then donors have the opportunity of becoming part of a change in the society. But you know, advancing transformation and restoration is a costly work. Requires self-giving of not just money, but time and emotional energy. A saltier body of believers moves to true partnership with those wanting to bring about transformation through a vehicle such as a nonprofit. Now, I want to briefly share in Jeremiah 32 a very interesting story that comes from a Bible study done by Mia Sherman called Salt in the City. So this is the story where God calls us to make what appears to the world as a foolish investment. God issues a very strange command to Jeremiah, telling him to buy a field in Anathoth on the northern outskirts of Jerusalem. The command bewilders Jeremiah, for this piece of real estate lies behind the enemy lines. The Babylonian armies have laid siege to Jerusalem, and Anathoth is filled with mourning. But yet God orders Jeremiah to buy this land, to execute all the legal protocols accompanying the purchase, and then to put the deed in an earthenware jar in order that it will last a long time, as we see Jeremiah 32 verse 14 says. The prophet faithfully obeys, but he doesn't understand why God could call him to such a foolish investment. Who spends money on something you cannot access, on something that lies in the enemy's territory? In mercy, God gives Jeremiah an explanation for this strange command. He reminds Jeremiah that the Babylonian invasion is the judgment that God had warned them about. But God wants the people to know that Jeremiah's action is a reminder to the people that God promises the future redemption and foretells a day when feasts and weddings will sound again in the fields of Anathoth. So the Lord asks Jeremiah to make a publicly noticeable investment in a place that others have given up on. By doing so, Jeremiah makes tangible God's future promise to reclaim and restore. So God is still today in the reclamation business. Though impoverished neighborhoods in our cities or communities at war or those facing disasters are lying behind enemy lines, where Satan has a grip on them through injustice and despair, God has not forsaken them, and neither should we. The kingdom of God is breaking into the anathoths of today. God is using donors and supporters and prayer partners like yourselves as he used Jeremiah to do just this. But additional foolish investors are needed. The body of Christ is not allowed to give up on suffering communities.
Yolandi, that's a wonderful description in the Old Testament in Jeremiah 32, where we see what exactly you are talking about in our first question over here about making that investment into NGOs, NPOs. I mean, you said that one should make that shift by seeing, moving from seeing value for money when you are giving to an NGO or an NPO and seeing it to more value of ideas, but to take it to another step and rather make that shift into seeing an investment into kingdom work such as Crisis Response Network, which is what you are involved in as the director at this Christian NGO that is based in South Africa, but working on a local and an international basis. I mean, after the last couple of months, we have been having these updates and these discussions. You have kept us up to date with what CRN are doing in Uganda when it comes to the South Sudanese refugees. Do you have any updates on that situation as it is currently and what they needs are and their requests when it comes to prayer requests are in this situation that they find themselves in today?
Yes, absolutely, Birgitta. Let's just quickly touch on an update before we go into the prayer requests. So, yeah, as we speak, the situation on the ground for these refugees in Uganda is really one of despair. I think our listeners know by now that Uganda is our largest refugee hosting country in Africa, where more than 1 million refugees temporarily reside, where the South Sudanese is the largest group of them. Out of the more than 1 million, about 800,000 are South Sudanese. So the food rations in the camps in Uganda that they're receiving from the World Food Program has been steadily decreased, and from this month onwards, they are only receiving 4 kgs of maize per person per month. I think, as we've said before, you know, this is just unthinkable. This is really a challenge. If you go and just go and measure out 4 kgs in your home and consider that you as a person have to live on that, you will all realize that this is just so impossible. But there is a little bit of good news that I can share this morning. There's been some really generous donations and investments, as we said this morning, that has allowed us, the CRM, to support through our partners on the ground a group of people with supplementary food rations for the next 3 months, while in the meantime, sustainable solutions are being researched through our partners for these people. But there's unfortunately also a little bit of bad news. There are other groups, like a group of 100 orphans, that are under the care of a specific pastor there, and we met these orphans in July when we went to visit the camp. No relief have come for them yet. And apart from the food challenges, their school fees are now due in order for them so that they could write exams and progress to the next school year. And they've all said, we've asked them, what are you going to do? And they said, well, you know, despite the lack of food, they are determined to study and pass the exams. So I want to invite our listeners this morning, please pray for these refugees, for these orphans, that their basic needs are met. And while they are in such a vulnerable situation, that the forces of evil's grip of fear and feelings of hopelessness will not overcome them. Please pray for people to join in the investments of these precious people's lives. You know, while they are in this season of exile, we want to pray that the Lord will prepare them, build them up, strengthen their faith for the season when they return to their countries. I see these refugees almost like bees taking pollen back, and when they go back to their countries, to the hive of their origins, that they will be taking the precious nectar of the prayers, the sustenance, the faith that has been grown with them back to their countries.
Yolandi, that is such a beautiful description of how you see restoration and reclaiming. Also, I guess if you see it like that, how we see in Jeremiah 32 with the Sudanese, the South Sudanese refugees. I mean, that is a large number in Uganda, 80%. If you're looking at 1 million refugees in Uganda, 800,000 of those being South Sudanese. And like you say, it's all ages. There's no discrimination. There are 100 orphans in a school where they're not receiving food. Also, they need to fund their education for the following year and also just to get their grades for this year as well. So there is big prayer requests over there, and also funding requests that is needed where CRN can be effective in that community within the South Sudanese refugee camp in Uganda. You not only work in Uganda, you also work across the ocean, and that is there in North America, South America, and particularly when it comes to Mexico. If you can share on what is happening in CRN's involvement when it comes to the Mexican border and the asylum seekers in that region.
Thank you so much that I can share also about what they're going through. I think we've heard over the news that there's lots of migrants that travel up through Mexico to the U.S. border to apply for their asylum in the U.S. But there's been a lot of changes recently in immigration policies. It's caused a lot of anxiety. And then added to that, we've had the Mexican government just randomly closing the encampments where the people were waiting in for their applications to be processed. And this has also contributed to the chaos, the uncertainty, and obviously when all of this goes on, there is always an open door for evil to work. So as we know, these migrants are coming from what is known as the Northern Triangle, and these people are from the Honduras, Guatemala and El Salvador, but also from Venezuela. And I think it's really interesting for our listeners to know that actually Venezuela has produced in the world the third most refugees, currently standing at 4.6 million refugees. We know that the Syrians are first, and actually the Ukrainians then passed the Venezuelans at 6 million, and then Venezuela at 4.6 million. So, you know, the reasons for this migration are the extreme economic, social and political instabilities that they face in their countries. And there's a little town called Matamoros in Mexico, just at the Rio Grande, lying at the border with Texas. And this is where many of them go to for their application for asylum. And our partners there, is a Bible college that opened their doors a couple of years ago to house, temporary house, some of these vulnerable women and children as they process, as they're waiting for their processing of their asylum papers. So they've been providing them with shelter and food, educational support and medical attention on a daily basis. And this is for about 200 people. But it's very unsafe for these people to actually go back to Matamoros and find temporary housing because of the drug cartels and the rampant human trafficking going on there. So I want to invite our listeners to visit our website. And when you go onto the homepage, just scroll down to the Mexico info block, click there, and then you will read more about what's been happening, the challenges that they face, as well as a beautiful testimony of Daniel and his wait at the border and how he was reunited with his family. And you can help by praying for these refugees who struggle to survive, that are separated from their families. You can imagine the anxiety of that. And you can share these stories on our social media platforms, as well as give to the CRN and mention the country or the project that you want to invest in. Let's remember that we are all sojourners here on Earth. And although these migrants are experiencing this in the physical, we should not forget that Earth is just a temporary residence, a transit, while we wait to move into our eternal destination with Christ. So please visit us at www.crisisresponsenetwork.net. Share the stories on social media. Invite us to come speak at your church or your small group or at a conference. We would love to share so many more stories of what's happening in these countries where we serve with our partners. Thank you, Birgitta. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you so much, Yolandi Corky, Director of the Crisis Response Network, which is a Christian NGO based in South Africa, working both locally, of course, in South Africa as well as on the African continent and abroad. In the United States, or rather South America, that is. And if you want to get involved, you can do it either through prayer or you can partner with a Crisis Response Network by going to their website, crisisresponsenetwork.net, and see what it is that the Lord is leading you to do and how you can also be effective in His kingdom by seeing this as an investment into the kingdom's work of God.